1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. The WGCH National News Report on the hour at 8. All of our top local stories at 8:05. And then at 8:21, it's our Greenwich Real Estate Report with Stacy Lowe and Brian Tunney from the Greenwich Association of Realtors. WGCH Newsletter Time, 7:51 and third Thursday of each month. We check in with State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. Good morning, Senator. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm great, Tony. How are you?
Oh, doing okay. All right. We're kind of into the home stretch of the legislative session. Tell us the latest, I guess, with the budget and the tax cut plan called the $1.5 billion back budget. Everyone seems to have an appetite for cutting taxes. How far will it go? Tell us the latest.
So, as you mentioned, we're in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the legislative session. So, this is where you'll see a fast and furious, a lot of bills coming to the House and Senate floor and being passed into law, some good, some bad, some in the middle. But the most important of all of them that will be passed is the budget, which is over $20 billion per year of taxes and spending. It has to be passed in the odd-numbered year, the long session, and is normally passed at the end. So, because of the inflation, because of the federal monies during COVID, we, like other states, now face a surplus and have the opportunity to reduce taxes in a meaningful way for the first time in maybe a generation or more in Connecticut. And we know that Connecticut has some of the highest, probably the second highest tax burden of any state in the country. So it's long overdue that people in Connecticut receive a significant tax cut. Our budget of all those, and meaning our, the Senate Republican budget that I co-introduced, would deliver the largest tax cut of any proposed, $1.5 billion, equating to about $1,100 for the average family in our state. We finance that by only growing spending at a reasonable rate, while still prioritizing kind of the most important needs, investments like education, nonprofits who care for kind of like the people who are down in our luck in our state, people who have lower incomes, are sick or disabled. So we think this is the best budget long term for the state of Connecticut. But $1,100 in tax relief for the average family, I think, is the most important headline. It's long overdue.
All right. And that's one of the budgets. I think the House Republicans, I think, have put forth theirs. The governor has his. The Democrats have theirs. So how is this all going to play out? What's been the reaction of the governor to your plan and the majority Democrats?
Well, I think the governor, frankly, prefers the Republican budgets to the legislative Democrat budgets because theirs breaks through the legislative Democrats' budget breaks through the spending caps that were vital, passed in 2017 in the bipartisan budget, and were vital to ensuring Connecticut is in a better fiscal position today than it was 6 years ago when those fiscal restraints were passed. Those included a spending cap, for instance, and a legislative Democrats budget blows through that spending cap by hundreds of millions of dollars per year through kind of budget gimmicks. And, you read what the governor has said publicly. He's very frustrated with that proposal that they made in the Finance Committee. So I think that everyone has a seat at the table here, the House Republicans, the Senate Republicans, obviously the governor and the legislative Democrats who are in the majority. But it's my hope that the spending numbers in the budget, the final budget, will be closer to where the governor or the Senate Republicans have it, because that ultimately means that we can deliver the most tax relief and that we can be the most prudent in government, spending on the things that matter the most, but not increasing spending too much where we're going to generate more debt and higher taxes and lower economic growth in our state in the future. So hopefully the spending number comes in where the Senate Republicans or the governor are. I think that's the most prudent thing for the state in the long term.
And do you think we'll have a budget in place by the June 7th end of session?
I hope so. Otherwise, my colleagues are going to have to cancel their vacation plans.
All right. Aside from the budget, what other things you're working on in Hartford?
Well, the thing that's kind of top of mind for me in the next 2 weeks is our big kind of hopefully bipartisan energy bill. Primarily, the goal of that is to strengthen the oversight of the utilities through giving PURA the right tools to regulate on behalf of customers, and hopefully ensuring that we have slightly lower energy costs as well. And those are some of proposals that I introduced in Senate Bill 123, and my Democratic colleague, the Senate Chairman Norm Needleman, and the House Chairman Jonathan Steinberg introduced in Senate Bill 7. So we're negotiating that in good faith in a bipartisan manner, and it'll be a very, complex and thick piece of legislation. But I think it'll help deliver better protections for consumers in the end if we continue to negotiate in earnest. So that'll be a significant piece of energy legislation. It's what I've spent a lot of my time on the past several months, and it's something that we've worked in a bipartisan manner on so far. So hopefully the final outcome is positive.
Now, Eversource just announced that they're going to expect a supply rate drop from 24 cents a kilowatt hour to 14 cents. How does that impact, if it does at all, work on an energy bill?
Well, I don't think it impacts it at all. I mean, as we mentioned in the winter, the increase in rates was a disaster, and Connecticut's rates are higher than the rest of the country, most of the rest of the country, which is even a bigger problem because that's actually a fair comparison. But we know that, markets drive the supply rates, which the utilities basically pass on. So natural gas prices and other energy prices rise and fall, sometimes in a highly volatile manner. And that's basically what drives most of, but not all of, the six-month changes, including this one. So natural gas and power prices are much lower than they were six, 8 months ago. That's why we're seeing the drop. Again, that's kind of part of the big picture landscape that we have, supply rates that are driven by markets, which are volatile. So that doesn't necessarily affect what we're doing right now. We want to make sure there's strong oversight of the utilities, and hopefully that there's less expensive energy on average in the long run. And that's what parts of our bill are aiming to address.
All right. State Senator Ryan Fazio, thanks for your time this morning. Have yourself a great day. Take care.
Yeah, you too, Tony. Thanks.